Welcome to Disorderly Dogs, the podcast for dog guardians. If you find yourself in precarious predicaments with your dog, this podcast is for you. I'm a certified professional dog trainer, and I take my 10 years of training experience and I share easy to implement dog training advice with an emphasis on kindness and compassion. Welcome. I'm so excited to share more. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Disorderly Dogs, the podcast. It is nice to be with you today, wherever you are, wherever you're listening from. Maybe you're hanging out with your dog as we speak. Things are great here in Colorado. We had a fall spring. Now it's winter again. So we're just leaning into snow and winter again, knowing that eventually it will be spring and summer. So in today's episode, I want to talk about recall realities, and this is a subject that I've covered in a lot of depth. If you've been a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about recalls in a lot of episodes, so we'll be sure to include links to previous recall episodes in the show notes. But today's episode, one, I just wanted to kind of do an updated episode. And I wanted just to kind of dispel some myths, I guess we could call them, that I see being perpetuated about recalls on social media. And then, as always, I want to give you a lot of examples of recalls with my dogs. As many of you know, Waylon has been one of my most incredible case studies in recall training in his lifetime. So I think that if you are interested in recalls, you're really going to get a lot out of this episode. First things first, I do want to make it very, very clear here that when we're talking about training any behavior, including a recall, no matter how you decide to train, there's absolutely no such thing as 100% reliability. It just doesn't exist. And this is something that I think is hard for people to grasp, because they're like, okay, well, why am I putting all this time and energy into training a recall if it's not going to be 100%? And the answer is because even if it's not 100%, your dog still needs to be able to come when called. And what we're really looking for is just increased margins in your dog's ability to come when called. Okay, so training a recall does not mean your dog is going to come every single time you call them. It means your dog is going to come the vast majority of times that you call them. So I just wanted to be clear with that. And like I was saying, that is true no matter how you decide to train. I think that there's a lot of misinformation about e-callers, electric collars, shock collars being this like magical panacea that your dog will always come when called. And that's not true at all. I have seen dozens of dogs blow through e-collars when they're supposed to be coming back and not coming back. Okay. So there's no such thing as 100%, no matter how you decide to train. The goal with the recall is really getting increased reliability under certain conditions. Okay. And I want to break something down for you, because I think that this is a really, really helpful thing to consider. So when we're talking about training a recall, so as many of you know, if you're new around here, I will let you know now, how I train a recall is positive reinforcement and gradual buildup in criteria so that the recall will work of the greatest situation that I need it to work in. When we're talking about training with punishment or training with an electric collar, what happens is in the beginning, you know, and this is like where all of the spew about e-collars don't hurt comes from, is that in the beginning when you're training a recall with an e-collar, you just use like the lowest voltage and the dog comes back, and you keep using that voltage until they come back. So you use the punishment, and the punishment isn't alleviated until they come back. Okay, that's how it works in the beginning. The problem, and why I choose not to train with e-collars, is that you have to continue to increase the punishment until you basically reach the highest level of electric frequency for it to continue to be effective. So this is a lot of training with punishment, is you start with a little bit, but you need more and more and more and more to perpetuate the behavior going forward. The benefit of training with positive reinforcement is it's kind of the opposite. In the beginning, you need a lot of reinforcement. But as you start to build that reinforcement history, the behavior holds even without increased reinforcement. Okay, so I think that that's really important for all of us to understand. And you know what? If you're using an e-collar to train recall, that's your prerogative. It's your dog. You get to decide what you want to do. But that doesn't negate the way that using punishment works and the way that using positive reinforcement works. Okay, so we don't need to go into too much of the nitty-gritty. You know me, I would not describe myself as a dog behavior nerd per se. I love dog behavior, but I do not like to get bogged down in the weeds. But I think that that is important for all of you to understand. Okay, so when we're talking about training a recall, I think it's really, really important for you to remember that you cannot go from working on recall in your house to expecting it to work in a busy place when your dog is super duper far away. This is the biggest mistake that I see my clients make, is that they think that their dog being able to come when called in the backyard is going to generalize and translate into all of these other situations. When we're talking about training a recall, we have to think about loads and loads. I'm talking hundreds of baby steps in that recall training plan to make sure that our dogs are adequately prepared for the situations and the circumstances that we are going to need that recall to work. If you are new to recall training, your dog doesn't have a ton of training under their belt, their recall isn't super solid, you need to be proactive about training them in places where, or situations where they can be successful. So if your dog doesn't have a superstar recall right now, taking them to the park and unclipping the leash to work on a recall is a recipe for failure. And usually what happens is that you try to call the dog and the dog doesn't come, and then they get reinforced in the environment for not coming. If you build up a lot of those repetitions, you're, I think, what we could call shooting yourself in the foot in that circumstance. I am a big fan of using sniff spots. Many of you know what sniff spot is. It's an app where you can rent people's private property. Many of the times there is a fence there. So when you are working on some of those baby steps of recall training, you need to have a safety net. You have to have a safety net, okay? The recall isn't going to work in the craziest circumstance yet. We're not there yet. So there needs to be some sort of safety net. There needs to be a fence. I'm a big fan of using long leashes to train recalls, but there needs to be a safety net when you're working on those baby steps. Because like I said, if there's not a safety net, your dog is rehearsing the behavior of not coming when called and getting reinforced in the environment when you try to call them. And something else that I think is a little hard for people to understand, and they don't want to hear it, let's be honest, is that if you are not more exciting the environment, if you don't have a really, really solid repertoire of communication and trust built between your dogs, it is very unlikely that your dog's recall is going to be successful when they have all of the freedom and all of the access to the environment. Okay. And, you know, so many people will be like, well, the dog needs to listen to me no matter what. Well, that's cute that you think that, but ego doesn't generalize to dog training. Okay. So if you want your dog to come when called, you have to adequately prepare them for the situations you need those recalls to work in. And something that I talk about, I do a free webinar all about recalls. And if you've joined me for that webinar, you've heard me talk about this, but you have to understand who your individual dog is, and you have to account that into your training plan. Because for some dogs, recalling away from a human is really, really easy. And for some other dogs, recalling away from a human is really, really, really hard. And if you don't know those details about your dog, you're not going to be able to adequately work on your recall training plan so that eventually, hopefully, they will be able to come away from the person if it's really hard, or they will be able to come away from chasing an animal if it's really, really hard. While you absolutely have to have baby steps, you have to have safety nets, you also have to acknowledge and understand who your dog really is. Okay. If you have a dog who is an insane prey drive and they have been successful at chasing, killing animals before, you have a much, much, much longer training plan ahead of you. But on the flip side of that, if you have a dog who hasn't shown a lot of prey drive, they're not really inclined to chase animals, you're probably going to have more immediate success with less effort and less steps in your training plan. But all of those things come down to who your dog is, who your individual dog is. And something that we take into account in all of our sessions, and I say we, Steph and I, into our training plans, is making sure that we're acknowledging who the individual dog is and the baby steps that they're going to need in their recall training plan to get to the goals that their guardians have. I will be honest, Nine times out of 10, my clients' goals for their recall are more ambitious than I think they should be. Okay, because like everyone is like, okay, cool, I'm gonna train a recall and the dog can just like always be off leash and I never have to worry about it. And they're trained and they get to be off leash and they'll always come when I call them. And everyone, like, I'm sorry, I wish that was like the magic world, but that's not the world that we live in, okay? Like, there are so many reasons to keep our dogs on leash under so many different conditions. And trust me, right? Those of you who've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that I am the first person to let my dogs off leash. I'm the first person to break leash laws under the right conditions, but under the right conditions being the key term here. And I do not let my dogs off leash. I do not break laws when the conditions aren't exactly what I need them to be for my individual dogs. I just don't, because I know better. I don't want to be pissed at my dog for not coming when called. I don't want to put my dogs in dangerous situations. I don't want to put wildlife in dicey situations. I don't want to put other people or their dogs in dicey situations. I love training recalls. I think that training recalls are really, really important. They're really, really valuable. We're going to get to some other reasons why I think you should train recalls. But that doesn't mean that it's everything, that your dog is just always going to be able to be off leash forever. Okay. So when we're talking about the reasons to train recalls, I think that even if you have no intention of ever taking your dog off leash places, I think your dog still needs to know how to come when called, right? I think that it is absolutely a safety concern when a dog doesn't have a recall. Okay, it's always going to be a safety concern if a dog is off leash, because like I was saying, there's no such thing as 100%. But if you have trained a recall and your dog comes 9 out of 10 times, that's going to be able to keep them safer in some of those oh shit moments that happen in life. Okay, so training a recall, you absolutely should for safety, even if you have no plans of letting your dog off leash. I also think that training a recall is really, really important for the community at large, right? Making sure your dog isn't going to run up to other people, making sure your dog isn't going to charge at other dogs, making sure your dog isn't going to harass wildlife or chase animals or do sketchy things, right? I think that if more people who unclipped leashes spent a little bit more time in recall training, it would probably be a much easier world for all of us. Let's be honest. But I think that there are endless list of reasons to train a recall, but I really think that the safety of your dog, the safety of your community, and just making sure we're not having a negative impact when we let our dogs off leash. Unclipping leashes and having dogs off leash is a very contentious topic, and I totally get why, because I have been on both sides of it. I've been the responsible owner with my dog off leash and being able to call them and not have a negative impact on things around me. And I've also been, you know, on the other side where someone's dog was off leash and they didn't have a recall and I had to endure the ridiculousness of their dog not having a recall. And I know that many of you could probably share the same stories, right? But training a recall is absolutely important, whether your dog is going to be off leash in a lot of settings or not. I want to give you some of the recall realities for my individual dogs. So if you have been a longtime listener, you've heard me talk about Waylon's recall in excess, maybe. It's something that I think you could say I've been obsessed with in Waylon's lifetime is recall training. And then obviously Spicy, she is almost a year and a half now, and I've been really working and cultivating and building her recall. So I want to give you some examples of the recall training and when it will and won't, well, might not work for my individual dog. So for Waylon, recalling him away from other dogs works almost always. Obviously, it's not 100%, but I'd say we're like in the 95, 97% margins. Dogs, if he sees a dog on a trail, he will come to me no problem. If he's interacting with a dog, I think it's going to go south, he will come to me no problem. If there's a dog behind a fence and he is interacting with that dog, he will come back no problem. So for Waylon, his recall away from dogs is really, really reliable, right? Like I can count on that pretty well. Like I was saying, if there's a dog behind a fence or if he's engaging in fence fighting, he will come away from the fence when I call him. He is great at that. I've spent a lot of time and energy working on that. With the dogs, I've spent a lot of time and energy, let's be honest, like his whole 7 years of life, he is really reliable about that. Same thing with people. If we're off leash on a trail and someone sees people, Waylon sees people, he will come back very, very reliably. Even if it's people he knows, even if it's really, really exciting people, even if it's people with dogs, he's great about that. He's great about coming back when I call him. Something I want to be clear on about the circumstance is that when he comes back, I'm still putting him back on leash for the sake of the other people and the other dogs. Okay? Like, it's not that he's coming back and then he just gets to stay off leash and we don't use thoughtful consideration and leashes. Okay? Because I still do. But if he's off leash and he's faced with dogs or dogs barking behind fences or people with dogs, he's great. He's honestly really, really great about that. Something else that Waylon is great about recalling off of is small animals. So rabbits, squirrels, cats, mice, chipmunks. His recall is super solid. He will come away from those. There have been several circumstances where a bunny surprises him or me and he takes off after it. And as soon as I call him, bam, he turns on a dime and he comes right back. Again, that's something that I've spent a lot of time and energy training. When we're talking about Waylon, larger animals, that can sometimes be a question mark. If you know about Waylon, you know that he has chased deer in his lifetime and some other large animals in the woods. And while I will say he always comes back eventually, he might not immediately recall, right? Sometimes he will. But it's less reliable. It's less reliable. And knowing that variable, I just pay attention to the environment. If I think that there's going to be deer, he just stays on a long leash and it's okay and everything's fine, right? I will say that when he's on a long leash and he sees a deer take off, his recall is chef's kiss. Great. Great. Because the leash allows me like 2 seconds to interrupt his like chasey feelings. And then he's like, oh yeah, I know how to come when called. When we're talking about Waylon, right, the large animals, it works a lot of the time, but less of the time than small animals. And then I think the thing that he will recall off of the least is usually if he is scavenging, eating something. So as many of you know, Waylon has quite a knack for finding animal carcasses and all kinds of disgusting things to eat in the woods. And then in our neighborhood, trash, oh my God, cupcakes, donuts, burritos, chips. This dog has found so many things. That's a time where the recall is really, the reliability margins have decreased. And again, that's just something that I know about him and I just have to plan accordingly. And honestly, in like our neighborhood parks or schoolyard parks where sometimes it's safe to let them off leash, I usually don't let him off leash. I usually use the long leash just so that I can interrupt it. And many of you know Waylon has kidney disease these days and we just have more pressures, right? I can't let him eat as many things because it could be really, really bad for his body, right? So that's a reflection of 7 years of training. And obviously I'm a professional dog trainer and obviously I understand the subtle nuance of like these elaborate training plans. So that's where I'm at with Waylon. So Spicy, she has basically a year and a half of training. And her recall reliability is different, a lot different than Waylon's. She is actually really, really successful at recalling off of large animals. She's a dog that I've given quite a bit of freedom to on the trails. And we've encountered moose, we've encountered deer, and she has come back each time. She just has less of a propensity to care about those large animals. She's just a little bit more tentative. She kind of sees them and she stops and I recall her and she's like, you're right. I should come back to you. Right? So that's a situation that it's happened on multiple occasions and she has come back every single time. She is also a lot better about leaving food alone, scavenging, stuff like that. She's much better about coming back when I call her. She's great about that. And both of those are really high margins of success. Not 100%, of course, but really, really high margins of success. As we go down the list, there are a lot more things that she's less reliable about. Dogs, definitely. She loves dogs. She really wants to greet those dogs. The recall is way less likely to be successful. And because of that, when there's going to be other dogs or people in parks or on trails, I'm much more inclined to keep her on leash or on the long leash, just because I really, really do not want her to practice blowing off a recall and going to greet a dog. I don't want her to have any success with that. So in order to prevent that, I really just have not been putting her in situations where she has opportunity to fail at the recall. And people, same thing. Spicy is so funny. She's such a teenager. She loves people and she does this obnoxious, like, jumping up at people. You all know I've been talking about that in previous episodes. So if we are, you know, if she's off leash and we're like on a trail and someone comes up, her inclination is to go introduce herself and lick these people in the faces. And again, that is not something that I want her to do. I do not want her to have success at that. So the vast majority of the time on trails, unless it's a really quiet day, I don't give Spicy a lot of opportunities to be off leash, because that's something, she's only a year and a half. She has a long life of trail skills with us up ahead, and I'm taking the slow approach here. I'm not giving her a ton of freedom if there's going to be a lot of people or dogs on the trails, because her recall just isn't there yet. Am I working on it? Of course I am, but I'm also really, really smart and honest about the realities of her recall. Calling her away from a fence where a dog is barking or a dog is there, that's another one where maybe we're at like 70%. She just really loves dogs. She just like, and she's not necessarily fence fighting, but if that dog is at the fence, she's like so interested. She's like, I can't talk. There's a dog here. Why would I talk to you? You're not as cool as dogs. And that's just something I know about her, right? So, you know, we have a lot of parks and places in our neighborhood where sometimes it's safe for the dogs to be off leash, but oftentimes there's dogs behind fences. And those are areas where I'm using the long leash or keeping her on the short leash, because I do not want her to practice running back and forth along the fence and blowing off a recall. Just don't want her to practice that. I will also say that her recall into the house from the backyard used to be really good, and it's not as good anymore because I want her to come inside sooner than she wants to come inside. She would like to like be in the backyard all day, and I can't let her stay in the backyard all day because she practices a lot of behaviors I don't want her to practice. She's digging up cat poop. She thinks that getting into our garden that's fenced off, she thinks that that's really fun, and I don't want her to do that. So that's one which is so funny. You know, it's like I can call her off of a moose, but her coming into my back, into the house from the backyard is a little bit less reliable. Again, something that I'm working on, but it's, you know, it's one of those that you have to understand the individual dog, because if you don't understand your individual dog, their propensities, their preferences, you're not going to adequately train the recall. Okay. Because while I think that there's a pretty general framework you can follow, as many of you know, that's inside of our course, digital course, Trustworthy Recalls. Even inside of the course, we help you understand that while there are these baby steps we want you to take, we help you understand what those baby steps are for your individual dog. So if you're listening to this episode and you're thinking like, oh my God, I can think of a lot more circumstances where my dog will not come than when they will come, I want to personally invite you to the Recall Training Challenge. We are hosting, Steph and I are hosting a recall training challenge that will start on Saturday, March 30th. And the way that it works is that you invest in our digital course, Trustworthy Recalls, which is a step-by-step training plan. In addition to getting that course, you get 4 live Q&As with Steph and I, where we're going to walk you through step-by-step what you need to be working on for your dog's individual recall training plan. And then we're going to support you week after week after week to make sure that you're seeing the progress that you want. I promise if you put in the time and energy, you are going to see the progress. And we're there to troubleshoot and answer questions. And we've done a couple of these recall training challenges in the past. And one, it's been so fun to connect with all of you and get to know your dogs, but it's been incredible to see the progress, right? Like y'all putting the time and energy in and seeing it work. And I can think of one particular success. So Tommy, shout out to Tommy if you're listening. She is a wonderful dog trainer and also one of our clients. And she joined one of the previous recall training challenges because her dog Betsy was not coming in from the backyard. They're really lucky. They have this giant backyard, but Betsy was very interested in cats and barking at dogs, and her recall was not great. And by the end of the recall, she was coming inside from the backyard every single time. So whether you're just trying to get your dog to come inside from the backyard, you really just want to work on it for safety in case they get out. Maybe you are an adventurer like me and you'd like to give your dog some more freedom. Maybe you're a dog park goer and you'd really like to feel more secure that your dog will come back. I really want to invite you to join us. So we'll include a link in the show notes to the landing page all about the recall training challenge. There's link to the dates, some case studies, and then when you're ready, you can enroll there. All right, everybody, I hope that Recall Realities was an enlightening episode. Have a beautiful weekend. Smooch those puppies for me, and I am already looking forward to the next episode.
There are loads of ways to support this podcast. Many of you who have left reviews, many of you have shared this podcast with your friends and family, but we've created another way for you to support this podcast by making a monetary financial contribution. You can choose from a one-time contribution or making a small monthly contribution to continue to make Disorderly Dogs possible. You can learn more at the link in the show notes.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you need help with your dog's behavior, you can learn more about our training services at agoodfeelingdogtraining.com. We post training inspiration and training tips almost daily over on the Instagram at agoodfeeling_NCO. If you like this podcast, we would be so grateful if you could share it with a friend or family member who could benefit from all of the information. It's been a total delight. We love this podcast so much. And thank you so much for listening to Disorderly Dogs.